This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
Write it down. Another prediction comes true. How many of my predictions have come true over the years?
So you
all
have
of
one
them?
Here. Do I have
all
to
of
add
them?
This.
Yeah.
So one.
Yeah.
One prediction now.
I don't make a lot of predictions.
No, that's not really our game. It's really a Glenn game.
That's Glenn, more a Glenn Beckian thing.
No one is more impressed about his predictions than Glenn Beck. I guess we make predictions occasionally.
Occasionally.
But I don't make
it. We did predict the wall wouldn't be built.
That's true. And that
we did predict
and
that.
When we make predictions like that, what do?
We put our money where our mouth is.
Our underwear,
mouth, actually. So
95% of the wall needs to be built.
Yeah.
Someone said that we said 90 at one point, which I wouldn't say is completely impossible, though I don't remember it.
Huh.
So if someone can dig that up, I mean, you know, we'll stand by whatever we said. I know.
Yes,
that,
we will.
90%.
I mean,
of
it'll
the wall
be easily found.
Being built. And by the way, some people are trying to scam us on this one.
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't get credit for the part of the wall that's already built.
No.
90% of what's not built needs to be built.
Right. Thank you. Yes.
I mean, again, wall, not we built a virtual fence. No, wall. Big, physical, beautiful wall.
With a big, beautiful door in it.
Yes.
So people can come legally.
His promise.
Uh-huh.
If he does his promise.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? We took him literally. not seriously. Well, both. Seriously and literally.
Yes.
On this one. So he needs to actually live up to it. But, you know, that's a high standard of underwear. You know, as you'd assume, we'd make that a little bit difficult for him to actually achieve. But
I don't mind that. I mean,
no,
come on. There should be a high degree of difficulty here. He was the one that made the promise. We're just the ones who don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That's all.
But one of my predictions, one of my thoughts has always been, I don't know if it's a prediction, but enforce the freaking law. Okay? We don't even need new immigration laws. We already have laws in place. We just ignore them. Enforce the law. Secure the border. And then you do something about those who are here. You take away incentives to be here. And it works every single time. We were just talking about this a minute ago. Started in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, where they enforced the law. And natural deportation happened. Self-deportation happened.
Yeah.
They went to other cities where they're more friendly to them. They went to other states. Or they went home. But if you went on a national basis and you said, look, we're serious about immigration. We want you to come, but we want you to come legally. So if you're not coming legally, I'm sorry.
Don't come.
We're not going to be welcoming to those who break our laws, and that's the first act they do in our country. Sorry. In fact, I'm not sorry, because every country in the world defends their borders, except us. Everybody does it. So now the story is just on the threat, because Trump hasn't done anything yet, but he talked tough on immigration. Just that has helped. Illegal border crossings, according to Customs and Border Protection, are plummeting. They actually use the word plummeting. It's a 40% drop in illegal crossings from January to February. That's an amazing statistic. 40% already, and we haven't even taken a step yet. We haven't even done anything yet.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess you give, because, I mean, Trump hasn't actually done anything.
I think you give Trump credit for at least talking tough on it.
Does the tough talk? The question I would have here, because I think
we're serious, right?
Right. I think the tough talk works for a time.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
If you don't actually, I mean, you know, you're keeping DACA in, you know, he hasn't done.
Shh, don't tell them that.
Well, I mean, he's.
Maybe they haven't heard it yet.
Okay. DACA has been repealed, and I think the tough talk works. The question is, does it work long term?
It won't. I mean, they'll have to see us backing something up. You know, we got to back up our word. But right now, it's helping.
If you're an illegal immigrant, you've been looking at coming to America. It's been, like Eddie Murphy. It's been a
coming
excellent
to America.
That's good. It had its moments.
Movie.
It had its moments. But if you're thinking about coming to America and you realize that we treat it like a speeding ticket or less for multiple decades, and now you think like, well, if I come now, I can get in because they haven't done anything yet. But in 6 months, they might start really enforcing this, and then I'm screwed.
We're tougher on speeding tickets than
we are
on immigration.
As you would know,
I've paid many, many fines.
You have hundreds of them.
Thousands of dollars in fines for my speeding tickets. They're not paying anything.
Right.
There's no penalties for breaking in illegally. And as long as they see that and they understand that and that's how we treat it, they're going to keep doing it. Of course. So just the talk top, the tough talk has helped the situation. The border agency called the drop unprecedented. So that's great. I mean, I'm going to give Trump all the credit for that, because he's the only person in the campaign, really, that talked anywhere near tough on immigration. And until we get serious on it.
The primary? I mean, I think there was plenty of people who took it seriously in the primary.
I don't know that anybody else was really talking about it as their major issue. He's the one who sort of adopted it. I think he fell into it, but he did adopt it.
He absolutely fell into it. And that we proved a long time ago. When you look at his in announcement speech, he barely talked about it at all. It was the only thing he said about immigration in that speech was the rapist
thing.
And
it was way into it. He didn't lead
with it. Yeah, it was like his 60th issue he talked about.
Yeah.
And in the thing, he's like, you know, they're sending us a rapist and stuff. So, by the way, and then so the media's like, rapist. And then he just adopted it as his issue. I mean, how this happened.
I honestly believe that, because he's never been this way on immigration.
He's never been this way before.
But they forced his back up against the wall, and so he fought for that point, even though I don't know if he believes it.
Yeah, I think he may have believed it at some level, but I think he thought it was appealing to the base.
Yeah.
And if he backed off on it, he'd look like he was backing off on his first major speech. So he just said, screw it, I'm just going to go with it. And then he turned it into belief.
And it worked.
Oh, absolutely. Make no mistake, he knows how to play the crowd. So when the crowd was there, man, he grabbed out.
You bet.
But the crowd didn't respond to that at the speech. It wasn't until after the media reacted multiple days later that it became a big talking point for him. I mean, that's a fascinating point of that campaign. You know, they write these books after each campaign. Mark Halperin writes them sometimes, McKay Coppins. That moment, I hope they put some focus on that, because it really is interesting that it was not his issue. Now, trade with China was a big issue in that speech. And he did mention Mexico when it was talking about trade, but he was not talking about illegal immigration other than that really quick, brief moment. It's something like, I can't remember what it was. It was something like 40 words or of a, you know, 2,000 word speech or something. We actually worked out, because he just didn't care. Mm-hmm. It was not a big issue. It was a throwaway line that just got picked up by the media that made him talk about that. However, you're right. It became a big moment. While other people talked about it, they talked about it it wasn't as big a percentage, or certainly as much as the coverage. You know, Trump got all the coverage on that issue. You know, people like Cruz were saying, wait a minute, I've been fighting for this for a long time. You know, Rubio was a guy who was Gang of Eight style. He was the type of guy that people were saying, well, wait a minute, he might do something like DACA. Well, now you have Trump and he's keeping it. I mean, he's doing the thing that you thought would be the thing you'd be scared of out of a Rubio presidency, and Trump's actually doing it. However, the
but
tough
it's a good
talk
thing now, because they
does
knew he was going to do that the whole time.
Oh, they knew the whole time.
Oh, they knew the whole time, and they wanted him to do it, but he had to do that.
But the point is, though, the tough talk does seem to have an effect, at least initially, on the border crossings. And another part of this is border agents are noticing the coyote fees, the fees to smuggle someone across the border, have shot up. The market for, hey, I can get you across the border, it's a lot more expensive now to get an immigrant across the border. Those two things are indications they believe, at least initially, the tough talk has worked. Whether if he backs it with action, I think it will continue to work.
You know how much it costs these guys to get across the border with a coyote? I think the average that I've heard, and this was years ago, was like $7,000. So we're told that they can't feed their families, they can't do any of these things. Because they don't have any money, they're poor, they're dirt poor, and they're looking for a better life in America. What if you took that $7,000 and applied it to food for your family? What if you took that $7,000 in Mexico, which is going to get you quite a ways?
Yeah, like a 16 houses.
And bought a house! Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even make sense, a lot of what they say. Where are they getting the money? Where are they getting the money? I don't know, because these coyotes are not cheap.
No, I did. Now, is there a situation, a bit of indentured servitude that occurs in which they come over and while they're working and they're sending money to the coyotes instead of sending it to their families, they're not even getting the benefits of the border crossing?
I've been told that they have to pay them up front.
Up front.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, are coyotes going to trust you to make payments? Maybe. Maybe they threaten you that they're going to kill you and your family or whatever if you don't. But I think mostly it comes up front. But this is good news. 40% drop in illegal crossings in the last 2 months. So that's great. I'll take it. Meanwhile, we were just talking about this at the end of the radio show. A couple of new polls showing massive majorities. I mean, unbelievable majorities that favor new infrastructure spending.
This is interesting. And I, if you didn't hear the radio show, I have, as you may know, I'm a little bit of a polling geek. And I'm a little skeptical of these polls being this high. We're talking about 90%. Do we have the actual numbers? Do you have the graphs of these by any chance? 90% support, 89-9 among the overall population, 87-9 among Republicans. Here they are. Yeah, here, this is the little, sorry, it's not even a graph, it's just the stats. 90-8 overall, 90-7 among Republicans, 90-7 among Democrats, 91-8 among independents when you're talking about
that supporting. Doesn't even make sense to me. Doesn't even make sense.
It's incredible.
Are you kidding me? No. 90? Is it 90% of Republicans want this?
Yeah, that's the poll. I mean, that's incredible. And again, you know, the one thing I will throw a little polling flag on this. The question verbatim is, do you support or oppose increasing federal spending for roads, bridges, mass transit, or other infrastructure? Not putting the number in there is pretty important because, I mean, you might say increasing. The average person doesn't think of, well, they're already spending multiple hundreds of billions of dollars on this. Do we want more? They're thinking to themselves, well, we need to keep spending on infrastructure. We need to keep spending additional money on infrastructure. Well, we do that every year anyway. This is on top of that we're talking about. And so that, it makes it a little bit misleading. But I mean, this is what's interesting here is uniform support from Democrat, Republican, Independent. Uniform support, 91% of support. That's incredible. You don't see that on almost anything. I mean, I can't think of an issue where I could get 90% in a poll right now. I can't even think of one. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, can you think of one off the top of your head?
No. I mean, I've never seen that kind of overwhelming.
Yeah, it does occasionally happen, I guess, but it's very rare. I mean, even things that are incredibly popular.
I don't think 90% of Americans think we went to the moon.
Yeah, I know it was about
6%. It's like 89 or 86 or something.
And then we have the other one. This is from CNN. I thought this was the Quinnipiac one. But,
that was Quinnipiac. Here's CNN.
Here it is. I mean, 72-20. I think the sources might be reversed on this, to be honest about it. But it's 72-25, 79-19, and 87-10. I don't know that that's actually CNN, to be honest. I thought the Quinnipiac one was the one with the
Republicans.
But whatever, it doesn't matter.
87-10 approved.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The important part of this one.
It's more than Democrats.
It's more. Look at conservatives. This is
and
again,
why? Because Trump has proposed it.
Liberal, moderate, conservative. Liberals, we all know, love infrastructure support. 71-25, they say.
Wow.
But there's 84% of conservatives agree with it.
84-14.
It just shows that these titles, principles, mean nothing to the vast majority of people. You know, the fact that you're here watching the show every day and watching The Blaze, you know, maybe you're in this group of people who make decisions outside of these teams, but almost nobody does. You're alone. That whole "we surround them" thing, dead. Remember that thing? Eric Glenn on TV.
Barely.
Hey, we surround them. No, we don't. I mean, look, I think there's a natural instinct to just go with your guy. And right now, Trump is pretty popular among Republicans, much more popular than he was even during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's here and he's got the glow of popularity with his own party, they're going to agree with anything he says. And
that
may very well not be you, and certainly most of the people in that poll would not admit to that. But honestly, the Republicans love Russia. Republicans love infrastructure spending. Mm-hmm. Republicans love universal health care. Republicans love almost every single thing. They hate free trade.
He should propose a tax increase.
I bet you anything he'd get support from Republicans on that.
He would.
If he came out right now and was like, you know what, 39.6, not high enough, it should go to 45, people would agree with it. Republicans. And you know who would disagree? Democrats. Mm-hmm. They'd all say, oh, is this all? Look at it. The rich aren't paying their fair share. They would mm-hmm. say the same thing, but it would not matter. Policies are completely separate from politics. They are not even a part of it anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that started. I mean, I could give you the do we have in here by any chance, Marissa, in the control room? Do we have that? I think I sent it to you. The separation, the margins of victory.
Yeah, the full screen right here.
Well, that's exactly
stunningly high political polarization.
It's literally the next thing on the press.
It's literally the next thing. It's literally right in front of your face.
Good. Thank you for that, Marissa. Look at this. This is exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. What you're seeing here is the margins of victory by county in the United States. You see back in 1992, the very bottom, the orange, is a 50-point margin. So somebody wins by 79 to 20, right? It's over mm-hmm. 50 points. Then a 40-point margin is the lighter orange. As it gets lighter, the percentage of counties, the yellow is 20 points. Okay, so that's the... So in 1992, about 38% of counties were won by 20 points or more. Polarized counties, we'll say. Mm-hmm. You know, one side or the other. That has increased from 38 to 61 since 1992.
Wow.
So almost the vast majority of races now are decided by over 20 points in these counties. And that is a big deal because you're seeing now with the stupid term that I can't stand, that when you redraw the lines the counties. Gerrymandering. Gerrymandering isn't exactly related to this, but it's similar. But you're just seeing more and more polarization.
Mm-hmm.
They're not redrawing the lines of the counties every 4 years. But you know that is also part of why so many of these congressmen all stay in power forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is incredible. Look at this. You have now have about 22% of races in the United States, in counties in the United States, have a 50-point margins. That means you almost don't know anyone who believes the opposite. You know, you're talking, say, 80 to 20 type margins. I mean, most people you meet are going to be that are going to agree with you. And you go to, there are very few now under 40% of counties where really there's even a close call. We all live around, you know, people that typically agree with us. And we were, of course, in the minority of these places when we lived up north. So, I mean, that's changed. And what did we do? We moved down south.
That's what we did.
Yeah, because we like those policies. And it becomes more and more about teams. It's more and more about, you know, whether, mm-hmm. you know, whether your guy is doing it or not. And I don't know. I didn't get into this for that nonsense. I don't care. I don't care. If Donald Trump starts coming out and saying, I want a tax increase, and then, you know, Nancy Pelosi says, well, I'm not going to agree with Trump. I want a tax decrease. I'm going to support Nancy Pelosi in that point. I don't think the vast majority of Republicans would agree. In the end, in the end, they'd wind up siding with Trump over Nancy Pelosi in that scenario. Now, that scenario is not going
to
happen.
I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see.
Yeah, I kind of would, too.
I'd like, just as a social experiment.
Can you get a better social experiment than infrastructure spending, though? Can you get a better one than Russia? 70% of people all of a sudden think that Russia is our friends. Can you get a better one we used the other day? Evangelicals believe only 30% of evangelicals say, you know what, if you do all sorts of crap in your private life, you can't do your public duties. That goes to 72% when Trump becomes the nominee. 72 from 30 to 72. Did the Bible change in those 5 years?
No, it's unbelievable.
I don't think it did.
It's unbelievable. I'd like to see him. Another great thing to see and put this to the test would be his abortion stance changing.
Yeah.
Going back to being pro-choice.
Well, you know, I got to say.
Let's see that. Put that to the real test.
I bet you're seeing major movement in gay marriage right now.
Man. I'll bet you are.
I bet you're seeing major movement in gay rights issues because Trump is very supportive. And I would say absolutely the most pro-gay rights president to ever take office. Mm-hmm. Now, he's probably to the right of Barack Obama, but not a Barack Obama of 2009. He's to the right of Barack Obama 2016, 2017. But he's not to the right of Barack Obama 2009. He's to the left of Barack Obama 2009. Mm-hmm. And you know, I bet you those things are all changing. And I just don't understand what motivates it. Why the hell?
I don't know.
Do you care if the Republicans are supporting it? Why does that...
absolute blind allegiance to everything Trump. Everything. Or everything.
Yeah. Look. Breitbart, for example, bashed Paul Ryan the entire time and basically wanted him executed. Politically. Executed. And I use the politically in only air quotes. Executed because of the stances he took back in the campaign. Now he's agreeing with Trump. Even Breitbart is critical of this health care bill, yet still it's going to get 80% support of Republicans. It still will. I don't know what you do. I honestly don't know. You cannot move your country forward policy-wise when no one cares about policies. Mm-hmm. Everyone only cares about their person. It's as if you're in some sort of like Taylor Swift versus her current boyfriend battle and you just stick with whatever side you're on.
I'm with Taylor.
I'm with Taylor. Obviously. You always side with Taylor.
I'm in her squad. And I'm part of her.
You're part of the Tay-Tay squad?
I'm in the squad.
Team squad Tay-Tay?
Yes. I guess.
Don't guess. You've been reading about squads all the week. We all know it.
I don't know the Tay-Tay thing. That's not familiar to me. But the squad part.
Sure. No. It's not familiar to Pat.
It's not familiar. Something I am familiar with is the air in your home, and it's really polluted. Could be as much as five times more polluted than the air outside.
You're familiar with the air in my home?
I'm familiar with the air in Jeffy's home. It's about 150 times more polluted than the air outside.
I'm not part of the Tay-Tay Club.
You really desperately just come across, Lee. We all know you're bringing this stupid. You just walk over here and bring it. Stop stopping in front of Jeffy. Just bring it over.
And again, I don't know that I need to hold this every single time.
We want you to hold it this time?
But
I'll hold it this time. There we go.
All right.
I'm surprised that you didn't set it right here.
I mean, we can't talk about it without...
People don't know what it looks like other than the picture behind us.
The picture is behind us.
Directly behind us. Okay, here it is. This is the Alexa Pure. Right here, this little line. This line tells you when it is actually filtering air. So a lot of times you get... Now, I'm not doing the pat hand gesture thing that he did yesterday. We're not doing this again. But this line, it turns blue when you plug it in. I bet if we plugged it in right now, it would be red as anything.
Oh, well, Jeffy's in here, of course.
Because Jeffy's in here. It filters out the Jeffy, is what it does. I don't know what the percentage is. It's like 99.99% of toxins. I don't know if they include Jeffy in that, but it would be difficult. I think the Alexa Pure Breeze could handle it. Honestly, you know who needs this more than anybody in the world is your wife, Amber.
I know.
Because she's got to deal with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, So anyway, then it turns blue when it actually gets it clean. There's a feature on top. You've got modes here, which has, you can set it for times. So if you want to set it, like before you come home, you can just turn it on then. They also have, Jeffy's coming home from work in 2 hours. You just turn it on the 2 hour setting. Mode, you've got clean, you got the auto and the silent, which is nice. The silent is literally silent. And then the auto is, it'll turn on and off only when you need it, so it's not running constantly. So you'll save electricity. Plus, it actually cleans your air. It's got an innovative four-stage filtration process, including, as Pat has pointed out many times, huge
fan of
this.
The true HEPA filter. Gosh, I love them. I love the true HEPA filters.
You ever have a false HEPA filter?
No, well, I have, yeah, but not now because I've got the Alexa Pure Breeze. And you can pick that up today for only $199.95. Start to breathe easy again. Get rid of those allergens in the air and all the junk. 888-895-7746, 888-895-7746, or online at getalexapure.com. That's online at getalexapure.com.
Coming up, we have a spoons today, and it's a very important one because we've got a lot of donuts. I don't know, I mean, a lot of donuts.
Ooh, from the big one?
Not the big one, not the big donut you wanted the other day, but this is another specialty donut place that has like crazy donuts.
Nice.
What kind of crazy donuts?
You know, all sorts of bizarre cereal flavors, and I mean, I saw some of them. They look amazing. It's like,
really?
Yeah, you know, they're ridiculous donuts.
Great.
Okay. So we're going to try that.
Look forward to that.
That's coming up. I would like to get your analysis on this. My son has informed me recently that donuts are not a treat. Because I said, you know, he wanted a treat at one time, and I said, well, we can get it. We want a donut or something. He goes, Daddy, donuts aren't a treat. That's breakfast.
It's a smart kid.
That's a smart
kid. Is that
way
you get the donut and something treat. Sweet afterwards?
Right. Like he wanted, then he wanted a donut and a treat afterwards.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Jeffy, why are you looking skeptical on this? I thought you'd be a big supporter.
Anytime you turn down a donut, it doesn't feel right.
No, well, you don't have to turn down the donut. You just say that's not the treat.
That
that's part
count.
Of my breakfast.
Like candy is a treat, right, for him.
Ice cream is a treat.
Donut's just a normal food. That's just a meal.
All right.
So, like, you know, it's like saying, like, I would like a salad or I would like a donut. Those are in the same category to him.
Actually, you've actually had him check now because he's... He's smartening up a little.
I think so, right? He's expanding. He's expanding the amount of treats he can have.
I mean, that's genius.
By denying donuts are a treat.
Yeah,
that's pretty smart.
That's smart.
That's pretty smart. He's getting there, I guess.
All right. Here's this is really good in light of what came out this week from WikiLeaks about the CIA spying on you. Here is how to tell if you're vulnerable to CIA hacking tools.
WikiLeaks recently made an announcement that the Central Intelligence Agency has a large cache of spy tools that they can use to hack into phones, computers, and even televisions. Here's how you can tell if you're vulnerable to these spy tools. To see if your address is located in the affected area, go to the website maps.google.com and type in your address. If it shows up, that means you're in the affected area. Again, that's maps.google.com. Here's a map of the affected areas. Next, to see if your cell phone is vulnerable to the Central Intelligence Agency hacking tools, simply go to Google and search for cell phones made after 2003 and press enter. If your cell phone shows up on this list, you may be vulnerable. Finally, to find out whether or not your laptop is vulnerable to snooping by spy agencies, all you have to do is go to the manufacturer's website and look up the make and model number to see if it has a feature called Wi-Fi. Again, WIFI. If it has Wi-Fi, you're vulnerable to hacking.
That is really good.
That's funny.
That's really funny.
That sucked me in. I was like, I'm interested to see if I'm vulnerable. I am.
You are. I am too. I am too. That's what a coincidence.
Wow, Jeffy is actually no. Jeffy has a 2001.
He's not. He's not vulnerable. So.
He's probably the one doing the hacking.
He didn't live in the colored part of the world, nor does he have any of the technology.
No, not
so
at all.
He's fine.
So he's fine.
You're fine, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. talking about this Obamacare thing, let's sweep this up. Mike Lee had a couple of comments on what we should do with Obamacare. And this is such a weird thing because the process of doing this is so utterly arcane. And I mean, I don't know how anybody understands it. And I will say this, once again, this is a terrible rollout from the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Again, a terrible, terrible. Now, again, we said over and over again that the travel ban thing was not that big of a deal, but it was such a terrible rollout. This is a terrible rollout. They needed to go to the people and say, look, we have to do this just so you know. This has to happen in three steps. And this is why we're going to do it in three steps. Before any of us even see the bill, they should at least explain the process a little bit. What we're getting here is like, I mean, it's a disaster. And so here's Lee talking about this a little bit, and we'll talk more about the process afterwards. Watch.
So just to be clear, are you for repeal, but not yet replace? Where are you on that?
I'm for repeal. Look, we've been waiting for 7 years for the opportunity to repeal Obamacare. We waited for the election in 2010 where we got the majority in the House, in 2014 where we got the majority in the Senate, in 2016 where we've now got a Republican in the White House as a result of that election. This is not the repeal bill that we've been waiting for all these years.
This
is a huge opportunity that's been missed, and it's a step in the wrong direction. What we need to do is repeal the bill and then bring about an iterative step-by-step process, one in which we can put the American consumer, the patients and doctors, back in charge of their own healthcare decisions rather than having them made by government bureaucrats in Washington.
How can any Republican argue with that?
No kidding.
It's impossible for me to get my head around. How can any Republican disagree with that?
I mean, but, you know, Lee is not a typical, I mean, he's just not a Republican, right? Lee is a guy who cares about policy. He's one of like four. And he's talking a freaking foreign language.
And
to
seriously,
the
there might be four senators who are like Mike Lee.
Yeah, I mean,
there might be.
Rand Paul, yeah. Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Ben Sasse. There's not a lot of them. There's not a lot of them these days. So here's the, because one of the complaints is you're going to take all these people off of healthcare.
There are going to be dead people in the streets piled up at high, like 400 deep.
Yeah.
400 deep all over town. Just piles of 400 people piled dead on top of each other wherever you go in every town.
Okay, well.
Well, that's true.
That seems bad. So obviously we can't repeal it.
No.
Then.
Well, that's the question here, and here's how Mike Lee answers it.
Okay.
Well, you know the folks who look at this and say repeal first or repeal only at this point say you're going to leave millions without a plan. There's going to be no direction. If we put off
the replacement part
of this, it's going to be just like all the funding cliffs that we get to. It won't get done on time. And we're going to have another crisis when we get to this end of the period where we're supposed to have the replacement in place. It's bad PR for the GOP if it looks like millions of people are going to be left with nothing.
Shannon, the problem with that talking point is that it's false. It ignores the fact
Bless
that there's
you,
a two-year delayed implementation provision in the repeal bill that would give us more than enough time that we need to figure out what comes next under Obamacare. The other problem with that talking point is that it basically plays into a similar mindset that Nancy Pelosi used 7 years ago when Obamacare was passed, when she famously, or infamously by now, said, in essence, you've got to pass this thing to find out what's in it. Look, what we want is to avoid the same mistakes that were made when the Affordable Care Act was passed into law, when it was crafted by a small handful of lawmakers and staff behind closed doors, brought forward, rushed through without adequate input from the American people in this 2,700-page comprehensive bill. I'd rather see us repeal in one fell swoop and then move forward with a step-by-step process to bring about the reforms we need.
I love you, Mike. First of all, I love Mike Lee. Secondly, I don't understand. Again, the process is confusing to me. I've heard multiple times they can't do what Mike Lee just said because you need 60 votes to do that, and they're not going to get 60 votes. So they have to do it through this three-step reconciliation process where basically what that does is you basically have to tweak the budget rather than actually repealing the rules.
Use the nuclear option.
Right.
They did. Yes, it was for a judge. It wasn't for a bill. I don't care. They did it. Just do the same thing to them that they did to us.
But he doesn't seem to be suggesting that.
No,
he doesn't.
That's
not what Mike Lee is saying.
No.
And Mike Lee is such a process guy that he must know.
Yeah, it can be done.
That it can be done. But maybe we should get him on and have him answer these questions.
Right.
Because
that's a good idea.
I don't understand. You know, you read five different sources, you get five different answers on this. You know, look, they can definitely, we can confirm this, definitely do better with the process they're using than what they've done. And I hope that's what the negotiation comes to here. Hopefully they can move this serious distance to the right. You're not going to get a perfect bill. I get that. But this is a crap heap. Get me from a D+ to a B-, will ya?
Can you believe they're using that perfect bill crap just like the Democrats did?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's not a perfect bill, but it's a good bill. It's never going to be a perfect bill. It can't be perfect. Nobody's perfect. It's not a perfect bill. No bill is perfect. We can't get perfect. If you want perfect, you're going to have to go to heaven. We don't have perfect here. This isn't perfect, but it's pretty good. It's kind of nice. It's going to help people. But we can't get a perfect bill. And we're getting the same freaking thing from the Republicans now.
Mm-hmm.
It drove me out of my mind in 2009. It's even worse now because I expect more of these guys.
I've stopped, though. You're off that bandwagon, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Again, we talked about this in the first break. The social experiment we're seeing here could almost never be replicated. You're taking these positions that are exactly the opposite of what everyone argued for the past 30, 40 years. And because of a couple of personality changes and a mood change in the country, you are seeing all of these people say the exact opposite thing that they've been fighting against. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. And the fact is, they've been trying for more than 30 or 40. They've been trying for 100 years
right on the left,
to get this done. They'd been trying since 1912 under Woodrow Stinkin' Wilson. When Obama said, we've been trying for 100 years to get this bill. We're going to finally get it done. He was right. He was telling the truth about that. That's about the only thing he told the truth on, was they had been trying for 100 years. And why didn't they succeed? Because Americans demanded that they not do what they were trying to do. And in 2009, they just ignored that and did it anyway. So that's where we are. And now we've got the power to get rid of it. And they're not. They're just adding to it. I got an email from I'm going to try to find out where this guy gets his information, but he says they're going off of the Obamacare bill and just adding to it and amending the bill itself.
That's the reconciliation process. So they can't. That's why I don't understand, because if they could just repeal it, they would need to get 60 votes to avoid the filibuster, unless they use the nuclear option, which they're not saying they're going to use.
Yeah.
So the only way that
they don't even threaten it.
They don't even threaten it.
That's the weakling Republican Party for you. They never do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want that to be a common thing, though. I mean, do you dislike the filibuster? Do you think it's a bad thing? I like that the Senate can stop things. That when you have 45 senators as Republicans, you can stop things. And they used it a lot.
Yeah, and it's a good process, and it works. But I, you know,
it's just tempting. I mean,
it
is because Reid disregarded
everything and went ahead and did it.
I know.
And that's how they got all this stuff done. They just did it. They didn't care what anybody else thought. The vast majority of Americans didn't want this. They did it anyway. I just want to get rid of it.
I do, too.
I just want to get rid of it.
I do, too. All right, let's take a break. 888-727 back is the phone number. Let's talk a little bit about your cell phone, because, you know, these are the types of programs we're talking about. The money that goes to, you know, giant liberal organizations, a lot of it comes, for whatever reason, one of the biggest donors to these things are phone companies. They mm-hmm. take your money and they pour it into liberal politicians that will help, you know, their industries, but also help values that really hurt you, the things that you're fighting for. And Patriot Mobile solves this.
Yeah, and they offer nationwide talk and text with high-speed 4G LTE. They've got all the competitive prices. In fact, they're lower prices than you're paying right now. And they'll donate up to 5% of your monthly bill to a conservative organization of your choice, like the NRA or FreedomWorks.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Patriot Mobile will even buy out your current contract. And, you know, you hear that from phone companies all the time. They're like, here's $8 to buy out your contract. Well, they're going to fine me $150. I think mine at one point was $200.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They basically have just caught all cell phone contracts because they're saying $500. They will pay up to $500. They're going to credit you to get rid of this contract. And you get to keep your phone number. Plus, you get the great nationwide coverage you get with everybody else while supporting conservative values that you trust.
So just pick up the phone and call them now. Patriot Mobile will waive your $35 activation fee if you use the promo code Pat and Stu. So use the promo code Pat and Stu and go to patriotmobile.com/Pat and Stu or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. 1-800-A-PATRIOT.
Welcome back. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. This is something I stumbled upon last night, and it's pretty interesting. I'm kind of fascinated by the Westboro Baptist Church because they're so freaking nuts, and their belief system is so whacked out.
Who are you to say that about someone's religion?
I'm Stu. I actually do the show here every day.
I was just curious.
Yeah. So this was pretty interesting. She did a TED Talk in which she talked about how she left the church. This is Megan Phelps Roper. If you know Phelps, that's the name of the Westboro Baptist Church. Fred Phelps was the big guy, and I don't know if he's still doing it or not, but it's mostly his family that is responsible for the Westboro Baptist Church. And this is the church that goes around and protests military funerals and terrorism victim funerals and, you know, says God hates Jews and God hates gays and They're awful, awful, awful people. So the question here is, though, can you engage with someone like that and actually turn them around? This is one example of yes. Watch.
In my home, life was framed as an epic spiritual battle between good and evil. The good was my church and its members, and the evil was everyone else. My church's antics were such that we were constantly at odds with the world.
Jews
and that
stole
reinforced
the land.
Our otherness on a daily basis. Make a difference between the unclean and the clean, the verse says. And so we did. From baseball games to military funerals, we trekked across the country with neon protest signs in hand to tell others exactly how unclean they were and exactly why they were headed for damnation. This was the focus of our whole lives. This was the only way for me to do good in a world that sits in Satan's lap. And like the rest of my 10 siblings, I believed what I was taught with all my heart, and I pursued Westboro's agenda with a special sort of zeal.
Wow. Mm. It's hard to fathom when, I mean, you might be thinking, well, did you ever read the Bible? Yeah. You know, before you joined on Twitter and started talking to people, did you read the Bible? Shouldn't that have been a clue?
Well, and, you know.
Where does it say anywhere that God hates anybody at any time, anywhere? Never.
That would be a big, because, yeah. I mean, the signs all say the word hate.
Right.
And he doesn't seem to use it.
I mean, their church is all about hate.
Yeah.
They hate everybody who aren't them. So it's bizarre to me.
I was convinced for a while it was a bit. Like, the Westboro Baptist Church was a bunch of people who wanted to mock Christianity. Like, that's how bad it is. But
yeah,
I don't think that's true. Now, I there's a documentary I watched about them going inside. Some guy going inside. I can't think of his name. He's the guy doing the new Scientology video documentary coming out soon. And he went inside the church and spent, like, a weekend with these people or a couple weeks. And after watching that, I was convinced, no, these people are actually real. Like, this is what they actually believe. Mm-hmm. Here is how the transition actually started.
In 2009, that zeal brought me to Twitter. Initially, the people I encountered on the platform were just as hostile as I expected. They were the digital version of the screaming hordes I'd been seeing at protests since I was a kid. But in the midst of that digital brawl, a strange pattern developed. Someone would arrive at my profile with the usual rage and scorn. I would respond with a custom mix of Bible verses, pop culture references, and smiley faces. They would be understandably confused and caught off guard, but then a conversation would ensue. And it was civil, full of genuine curiosity on both sides. How had the other come to such outrageous conclusions about the world?
Mm-hmm. She was eventually, she thinks, kind of forgiven for what she did. And it's hard because she was really a terrible person. You know, I mean, I think to her own admission, but this is how that came about.
The truth is that the care shown to me by these strangers on the internet was itself a contradiction. It was growing evidence that people on the other side were not the demons I'd been led to believe. These realizations were life-altering. Once I saw that we were not the ultimate arbiters of divine truth, but flawed human beings, I couldn't pretend otherwise. I couldn't justify our actions, especially our cruel practice of protesting funerals and celebrating human tragedy.
Wow.
These shifts in my perspective contributed to a larger erosion of trust in my church, and eventually it made it impossible for me to stay.
She,
in spite of overwhelming grief and terror, I left Westboro in 2012. In those days just after I left, the instinct to hide was almost paralyzing. I wanted to hide from the judgment of my family, who I knew would never speak to me again, people whose thoughts and opinions had meant everything to me. And I wanted to hide from the world I'd rejected for so long. People who had no reason at all to give me a second chance after a lifetime of antagonism. And yet, unbelievably, they did.
I really like her. She's, you know, she had very little chance to have a decent life at the beginning because she was indoctrinated from the time she was a toddler. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were poisoning her mind with this slop, this filth, for her entire life. And then she starts getting out on her own and experiencing the world and interacting with other people other than her dumb family. And she pulls out of it. That's, I mean, to her great credit. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a hard.
That's great.
She's obviously to grow up in that environment. I think you kind of just assume she'd be a bumbling idiot. And
yeah,
she's well spoken and seems to be smart. And that didn't just happen since
she
left the
church.
Seems
to now be loving,
which is odd.
Caring.
Yeah, very strange. Let's watch this last clip real quick, talking about how her whole experience has shaped her worldview.
That period was full of turmoil, but one part I've returned to often is a surprising realization I had during that time. That it was a relief and a privilege to let go of the harsh judgments that instinctively ran through my mind about nearly every person I saw. I realized that now I needed to learn. I needed to listen. This has been at the front of my mind lately because I can't help but see in our public discourse so many of the same destructive impulses that ruled my former church. Mm-hmm. We celebrate tolerance and diversity more than at any other time in memory, and still we grow more and more divided. We want good things, justice, equality, freedom, dignity, prosperity. But the path we've chosen looks so much like the one I walked away from 4 years ago. Mm. We've broken the world into us and them, only emerging from our bunkers long enough to lob rhetorical grenades at the other camp. We write off half the country as out-of-touch liberal elites or racist, misogynist bullies. No new
one. Yeah. Her family won't even talk to her now, other than her sister who came out of the church with her. 888-727 Beck, more Pat and Stu coming up.
Tell me that's just not Glenn Beck, though.
Yeah, that is.
The last part's
right.
Exactly what he's been talking about.
Yep.
All right. Well, we don't have time for Jeffy. We luckily ran out.
We got another hour of the show.
Yeah.
We got another hour of the show.
We're all jam packed
In fact, we've
never had so much stuff. I mean, it's wall to wall. We're jamming 5 minutes of entertainment into that hour. So
we're not gonna have time.
So
we do have time for donuts. Ridiculous donuts.
Right.
You're gonna be seeing here in a little bit. And also, there seems to be a lot of food around this building today, and we have not had any.
None of it. So we're gonna go get some. So leave us alone. All right.
All right. Let's go.
Okay. Bye bye. Go ahead and play the music, and we'll see you next hour.
I'll just.
Alrighty.
If we're going to get food, let's go.
Yeah, baby.